ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garvinkel of Olami 613 Chicago with a live studio audience. And the live studio audience was so loud that it knocked the microphone out of the computer. Actually, not kidding. Okay, well, we have a very exciting podcast and a very, I believe, powerful podcast for you this Monday. These are momentous days in which we're living. I'd like just to first to give a little intro about how Olami 613 is rocking. We had our mentorship night out this past Wednesday at Milt's Barbecue, great place in Lakeview, the only kosher place in all of like downtown of Chicago. Anyway, it's amazing. About 60 people, mentors and young professionals, getting together to celebrate everything we have done with the Olami Mentorship Program and to recruit new people, new mentors and new mentees. And it has been, it was just a spectacular evening. I'm looking forward. If there are young people out there who would like to be a mentee and would like to have a mentor, a young professional, please have them contact me. Go to olami613.org, our new website, and look for mentorship. Okay? And yes, we out of the box very quickly here at Olami 613 with our launch and then mentorship. And now on to a Shabbos in the city this weekend, September 19th and 20th. And we are rocking that as well. And so please, if you have people, let's sign up. It'll be amazing, an amazing time. Dinner or lunch or both. It is fantastic. Now, this past week was a big week. I have to be honest. I was impacted deeply by the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I'm not sure I remember another time where I had more outpouring of requests to address the situation. I do know. It was October 7th. October 7th, I was inundated with requests. Rabbi, how do we process this? But this is a close second. A lot of people reached out to me and they just are lost and want to know how to respond to it. So I've been thinking a lot about this over the weekend, and I was actually going to pull the trigger on last night to do it. I didn't feel I was ready. So these ideas have been percolating, and I organized this podcast in a way I haven't organized before. I wrote the whole thing out because I wanted to have a clarity of where we're going and what is happening. So here we go. The disclaimer of this podcast is that everyone feels at home at Olami 613 because our mission is higher than politics. It's Torah. It's Jewish identity. And the Torah is the property of every Jew. As you know, I love to say, when people ask me in my elevator pitch, Rabbi, where's the synagogue? I don't have a synagogue. Well, what do? You know, it's like a car mechanic without a garage, you know? It's like a dentist without a drill. You know, what's a rabbi without a synagogue? I said, well, I'm a shovel. So, okay, great. And they want to get out of the elevator as quickly as possible. What do you mean, Rabbi? We are the shovel. We help young Jews discover and dig for the buried treasure in their own backyards. And that treasure doesn't belong to the rabbi more than it belongs to any of you. Every one of you owns that treasure. We have more expertise in learning it and accessing it, but it belongs to all of every Jew equally. And so that's our mission. And many times, as we're going to see later, politics gets in the way of that mission because we assume upon ourselves an initial a priori identity, fill in your political affiliation, and that gets in the way of being able to investigate the Torah because I see things through political lenses and not through Torah lenses and not through common sense lenses. I have to bend my vision to fit a list of policies that a certain political party bend to. And we don't do that at Olami 613. We are all about discovering the Torah. So that's the disclaimer. Now here we go. Why was this so impactful? And what should our response be? Because we Jews have something that's called Hakaras Hatov, Hakarat Hatov, which means gratitude. We, the Jewish people, not only have gratitude, we are gratitude. The word Yehudim, Jews, Jewish, comes from the word, you've heard this from me time and again, from the word Judah, Yehuda, Lehodot, which means to admit and to thank. In order to be able to thank someone, you have to recognize that they did something for you. A lack of gratitude is called kafui tov, literally a rejection of the good that someone did for you. And so therefore, we as Yehudim are thankers. We recognize the good that God does for us, that Hashem does for us, and we recognize the good that people do for us. And that is why this is a momentous incident for the Jewish people. Because Charlie Kirk stood up for Israel and the Jewish people and Jewish college students on campus when no one else was doing it. And especially during these encampments this past year, he was a consistent, vocal, pro-Israel, pre and post October 7th. And when these encampments came out last year on campus, he was firmly on the ground supporting Jewish students who said they're scared. And he would tell them, we're here with you. He also said, get trained in UFC and carry bear spray. Okay, but we are here for you. And who was not? Who was not? The universities weren't there for him, for Jewish students. They certainly weren't protecting Jewish students. This universities that were so into and still DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion somehow couldn't include the Jew. You know, my wife and I, we always joke, you know, an electrician, if he doesn't know how to paint, that's okay. And if a painter doesn't know how to be an electrician, that's okay. But if an electrician doesn't know how to be an electrician, then he's not an electrician. So if your whole mojo is inclusion and you can't be inclusive, that means that you're lost. Or you don't know what you're talking about, or you're really anti-Semitic. So don't talk to me about inclusion. So when the DEI people were joining the encampments and Charlie Kirk was there at personal risk, we have to thank him. And how many non-Jewish friends do we have today? How many non-Jewish friends do we have today? France is our friend? No. Macron, may he put his tail between his legs and go somewhere else, right? Supporting a Palestinian state, rewarding Hamas for killing 1,200 people and still holding the entire Gaza hostage, right? By not letting go of the hostages, and you're going to reward the Palestinians with the state. Then Spain, oh my gosh. Your mediocrity in everything, except maybe for soccer and some little wine here and there, is at you stood up for us. The UN stood up for us. The college administration stood up for us. The media stood up for us. Who else? No one stood up for us. Charlie was and is a friend of the Jewish people. And it is painful to see such a good friend be assassinated. It is painful to see such a good friend be assassinated. And every Jew, left, middle, or right, should feel a twinge of pain of seeing a good friend who stood up for us go down. I think another reason why this impacted me and others is the loss of potential. You know, Charlie, in 13 years, from the time he was 18 years old to the time he was 31, he built an empire. From one Facebook group of conservatives, he built an empire, clearly influenced many elections, and many say that his mass voter registration for Republicans among the youth won the presidency this time for President Trump. If you agree with that or not, if that's a good news for you or not, he was a consequential person. And what would he have achieved in the next 13 years or 26 years or 39 years or 52 years? And when we talk about the loss of potential, what about his family? Who can look at his family and not be heartbroken? A beautiful husband, a beautiful wife, and beautiful children who have wholesome religious values. And even though obviously we Jews are not Christians, and there's a lot of really good reasons why we're not Christians, and maybe if you want a podcast on that, I'm really happy to speak that out. We're not Christian for a really good reason. Lots of them. Okay, but nevertheless, they are people of faith, and we respect that. You know, growing up, I always, in my culture, always had a pejorative and negative and condescending look to Bible-thumping Christians. And now as an Orthodox rabbi, I realize that with such haughtiness, why can we not celebrate the fact that we have Christians who are believers? We should celebrate that. We want people to be secular. We want people not to believe in God. That's what we want. And so the loss of potential of this beautiful wife who's now a widow and two children who'll never know their father, it's beyond sad. And the question is why? Why was this man taken from planet Earth? So it really boils down to that, again, we don't know the motive of the shooter per se, and I'm not going into that, but bottom line is people didn't like his opinions. People did not like Charlie Kirk's opinions. Well, at least many people didn't like Charlie Kirk's opinions. And I'd like to say something very clearly. I think America has a problem. America has a problem that it does not know how to argue. Now, this is the greatness of Torah and Judaism, is that we have something called a yeshiva. Now, a yeshiva is a place where people sit down with each other for several hours, and they scream at each other, fighting, searching for the truth, analyzing. And in fact, there's an amazing Gemara piece of Talmud in Kiddushin 30b, and I will read it to you. And it says, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, the son of Abba, says, Afilu ha'avu beno, even the father and the son, Harav v'talmido, the rabbi and his student, Shaoski b'Torah, that they're involved themselves in Torah, Bishar Echad, in one gateway, Nasin Oivin Zedzeh, they become enemies. When they sit down to learn, they become enemies. And Rashi, the great scholar of the 11th century France, says, Mitok Shemakshin Zedzeh, because they have questions and they challenge each other, Ve'ein Zeh Mekabel Divrezeh, and this one doesn't accept the words of the other one. So there's a battle. There's the, as we said, the Milchamta Shel Torah. There's the battle, the war of Torah. The Einam Zazim, the Gemara continues, they do not move Misham from there. They don't move from there. Ad Shenasin Ovin Zetzeh. And they don't move from there until they become beloved to each other. Because the search for truth, that common search for truth, that can really only be achieved when there's honest dialogue and a give and a take and a different perspective, because many times one person alone does not have the whole truth. That is the basis of all Torah learning. And this is why Jews have such an advantage in the world, is because we have training in how to see things and how to listen to other people and how to take a statement and analyze what someone else says and then use it to search for truth. But today, the universities and the educational systems have adopted an educational system based on dogma and not on the search for truth. Dogma. There's certain class of people that determine what people should think, what people should do. And if you go against them, you are breaking the dogma. If you have the wrong opinion about certain things, then you are not only incorrect, you're bad. You are evil. If you are not, environmentalist, then you obviously hate the world. If you would challenge the efficacy of electric vehicles or solar energy, and you advocate for fossil fuels or nuclear energy, then you're literally evil and you want the planet destroyed. If you're not for certain types of sexual relationships. If you're not for homosexuality, you're a homophobe. If you're not for trans rights, then you're a transphobe. You're afraid of them. You're bad. If you're not for open borders, then you're a xenophobe, right? If you are pro-family being a male and a female together, then you are all those phobes we mentioned before. And if you're pro-Israel, then you are a genocidal person fighting against the Palestinians. That is the dogma on the campuses today. And instead of debating the dogma, the issues, they shut it down. They shut down debate with name-calling and marginalization and even violence. Look at the campuses. Any pro-Jewish or pro-Israel speakers are physically prevented from speaking. And Charlie Kirk was really a yeshiva bacher at heart. He was full of debate and exchange of ideas. He believed that was the key, because that's where the real truth comes from. That's such a Jewish idea. And he went to countless campuses and he ruffled feathers because students aren't used to doing a real debate. And they get frustrated and they call it hate speech. They called his speech hate speech. When he said that Israel's not a genocide state, is not doing genocide, they said, oh, you're pro-genocide. And when they say that he wants a nuclear family of a man and woman, he says, oh, you're a homophobe. And they would call him names. Now, it's very key. Just because someone disagrees with you doesn't mean it's hate speech. Hate speech is, let's use it with the Jews, okay? If someone calls a Jew a dirty Jew, or a Christ killer, or starts quoting from the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, or the racial theory from Mein Kampf, or any of those things, okay? Then, well, you could call that hate speech. But stating opinions that marriage is only between a man and a woman? It's hard for some people to hear. It's a different opinion, but it's not hate speech. And here's where it gets scary for Jews. Jews never do well in a dogmatic society. When there is a dogmatic society, when there's no room for debate and open exchange of ideas, eventually the Jewish people get blamed for everything. And this is what we're seeing in America. And Charlie Kirk was a force for not only the content of certain biblical ideas, but the process of debate and open exchange of ideas in which the Jewish people thrive. And so every Jew in America and possibly around the world should feel a little less safe, sadly, because Charlie Kirk was removed from planet Earth. Because in a place where there is no free debate, just take a quick look at Jewish history, we end up becoming the focus of all of the hatred of the host country. I wish I was wrong, but I'm not. I'd like to focus on just for one moment the response to the tragedy. The next section of the podcast here, the response to the tragedy is very instructive. Many of the left, and sadly many Jews on the left, have either said that he deserved it, or they kind of dodged the issue. It's Elul, it's right before Rosh Hashanah. There's one group in particular. You make up your own mind. Look up the JDCA, the Jewish Democrat Committee of America. Now, by the way, I'm on a lot of political lists because I want my finger on the pulse. This does not mean that the Republican Jewish Committee is great, is infallible. But there's a certain Democrat first and Jewish second nature of this group that drives me crazy. We as Jews need to call balls and strikes per each issue. We cannot be locked into any political ideology before Judaism, as we said at the outset. Really, all they needed to say was, thank you for supporting Israel, Charlie Kirk. And thank you for supporting Jews on Campus. And your merger is a tragedy. And even though we disagreed on many issues, we thank you for your support and statement. But they couldn't do it. They gave a half a sentence about it being a tragedy and they launched onto something about Trump. We need to have Jewish lenses based on Torah. Jewish Torah lenses. Maybe we'll make an acronym. JTL. We need to see clearly and not be bound by foreign ideologies. I'd like to conclude with the following. If you ever listened to Charlie Kirk's show on a Friday, he would always end off saying, "Have a good weekend and Shabbat Shalom," which is unbelievable. And it turns out that this was not just lip service. And there are many clips on this, him talking about this. In fact, he has a book that was ready to publish that I believe is coming out about Shabbat. And he did keep a type of Shabbat. And he and his wife spoke about this often, that he turned his phone off and he did no work on Saturday, Friday night and Saturday. He chose the Jewish Shabbat. He called it, everyone needs a Jewish Sabbath. Okay? And he would turn his phone on Saturday night, have 600, 900, whatever it is, text messages. Okay? And his wife spoke about what a reset it was for her husband and what a reset it was for her family and how he could, even with a crazy travel schedule, as long as he could get a real full, and he said 24, 25 hour Shabbat, that he could reset and the family was good and they could plug in and they could make it through another week. And obviously, listen, they don't have the full Shabbos. They're missing, they have, you know, the Shamor, the thou shalt nots, but they don't have the thou shalts. They don't have the concept of owning Shabbos, of enjoying Shabbos. They don't have Shabbos Zmiros, the songs. They don't have the food. They don't have the structure of all the positive good things, the dressing up in nicer clothes, all the things that we do to make Shabbos special. They're missing that. But listen, these non-Jews got it. They're seeing the world clearly. They recognize the greatness of our Shabbos. And here's my personal pain. For 21 years, the hardest thing to do is to get Jews to come to the Jewish community and spend a 25-hour Shabbos. It's like the scariest thing in the world. But it's the most glorious thing in the world. Any Jew today who is Jewish is only Jewish because for 3,800 years, unbroken chain since Abraham, we've been keeping a 25-hour Shabbos. And in the last 150 years, it's been breaking down. And guess what? Eventually, those are the ones that are assimilating. The ones who are keeping Shabbos are not assimilating because they're keeping Shabbos and they're dedicated to the Jewish people. And so therefore, even though it pains me that sometimes we have to have an outside source to remind us how special we are, then maybe, just maybe, that the silver lining for the Jewish people of the assassination of Charlie Kirk is that it should inspire us that if he, such a clear thinker, was able to recognize the power of Shabbos, a 25-hour Shabbos where we put our phones away, and he didn't have all the positive goodies of it. He was just putting his phone away. We have what he has times 1,000, that we should use that inspiration to double down on our Shabbos. And God willing, we will take that inspiration, and it will be a merit for him if he was the spark that lit the Jewish flame to keep Shabbos. May God bless his family, as someone who stood up for the Jewish people. May he bless his wife, his widow, and his children. May he watch over them. May he repay them the kindnesses that they have showed and continue to show to the Jewish people manyfold. And Charlie Kirk, may your memory be for a blessing. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.